You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah. What's the tam ha-mitzvah? What's the hashkafa behind the mitzvah? And I want to start with the pasuk in Parshas Emor, where the mitzvah is explicitly mentioned. The Torah tells us the following. When it comes to the yontif of sukkahs, it tells us, v'chagosim osor chag l'Hashem shivas yomim, that we have to basically have a holiday of 7 days. The 7 days begin from Chamisha Osa L'Chodah Shashvi, Chag HaSukkos, Shivas Yomim L'Hashem. So we have over here the Pasuk telling us that in fact, from the 15th of Chodesh Tishri onward for 7 days, we have a mitzvah of having Yom Tov of Sukkos. And what do we do during this time period? So it says, Besukkos Teishu Shivas Yomim. One of the things we have to do in Sukkos, besides all the other mitzvahs, is to sit in the Sukkah for 7 days. Kol Ezach B'Yisrael Yesh B'Sukkos. Everybody who is an official member of Klal Yisrael should sit in the Sukkah. And then it tells us, L'man Yedu Darasechem, that the generations in the future should realize, Ki B'Sukkos Hashavti Espenei Yisrael Ba'otzias Amerus Yisraelim, Ani Hashem Elokechem. So not only does the Torah describe the mitzvah sitting in the sukkah for 7 days, but then it does something which you don't usually find in other mitzvahs contained in the Torah, and that is the Torah mentions the tam, the reason we have to sit in sukkahs for 7 days, and it says to commemorate the fact that Hashem made Klal Yisrael sit in sukkahs when we left Mitzrayim, and therefore to recreate that experience of us sitting in Sukkos when we left Mitzrayim, Rav Achiva sitting in Sukkos 7 days straight. Now what's interesting to note is there is a Machlokas Tanoim in the Gemara, in Masechtas Sukkah and other places, concerning exactly what does it mean that Hashem made us dwell in Sukkos when we left Mitzrayim. What type of sukkahs are we talking about? So the famous Rabbi Kiva says, we're talking about the concept of sukkahs mamish, that Hashem put us in a situation that we're in the Midbar, and the Midbar is a desolate place, a place that there is quite obviously tremendous dangers, a big problem of not adequate food or any food at all, to take care of the needs of Klal Yisrael, and we had 3 million men, women, and children leaving Mitzrayim, going into a Midbar Shmama, into a real desolate Midbar. They were there ultimately because of various problems for 40 years, but nevertheless, they went into a Midbar. And according to Rabbi Kiva, if you will look very carefully in the Psukim and Parshas Maaseh, you will realize that the places they were in the Midbar were not close to any type of inhabited areas that they were able to get food or drink or other supplies from these local areas, because in a Midbar, in a desert, you can be in the edge of the desert near inhabited places, or you can be in the middle of a desert that there's nothing whatsoever for miles upon miles around you. It's totally shmama, totally desolate. So Chazal tell us that where they were, where they were traveling based upon the locations that are mentioned in Parshas Maaseh, if you would take a tour of that region in our contemporary time period, you would see that there was no way for these specific parts of the Midbar to be inhabited safely and securely by 3 million men, women, and children. There surely wasn't any sources of supply for food or drink in these specific areas. It was also a place of tremendous sakanos, either from wild animals that live in this type of region, or perhaps from people who are robbers or enemies of the Jewish people that might want to attack them there. They were open to quite obviously tremendous sakanos and needs and necessities from all sides. So says the Rambam, in Maror Nevuchim, that what do you mean, Rabbi Kiva says, that we were made to dwell in Sukkos Mamish, an actual booth made of the materials the sukkahs are made of, like we make today. The pshat is that the only way Klal Yisrael survived in this physical area when it comes to protection, we only had sukkahs initially at that time to protect us from wild animals or from robbers, from other types of dangers. The Rabbeinu Sham made sure that we were protected despite the fact that B'derech HaTeva we were unfortunately open to potential sakanas from all directions. When it comes to our needs and necessities, the Rabbeinu Sham ultimately gave us the mitzvah of eating man each and every day, gave us a Be'er Mayim to give us water, so man was the type of food that no matter what flavor you wanted to taste in the man, it tasted like any type of food on the face of this earth. So we had an entire smorgasbord of food types and food tastes in the man for the whole time we were in the Midbar, so our food was taken care of. He later on even gave them meat as well of birds that they made requests for. And when it comes to the question of water, the Schus Miri had a Be'er Mayim that gave us all our water needs, all that we possibly can need. It also was used as a mikveh shel tahara to purify ourselves. So we see over here, as Rabbi Kiva says, despite all the impediments we had living in the Midbar Shmama, where nothing was there to really protect us on the appropriate level, there was no rations of food immediately available to buy or purchase. Hashem took care of our physical existence in the actual Midbar. And because Hashem took care of all our physical existence when it comes to protection and our nutrients that we needed to supply food and water to the population at large, we're commemorating this by sitting in a Sukkah Mamish, realizing that our ultimate existence in the Diras Arayim, in the temporary habitation we had in the Midbar, is all because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sham Yisrael. He watches Klal Yisrael, he protects Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, from the time of our Yitzias Mitzrayim to the present. The Rabbeinu Sham is always there for us every time we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since Hashem commanded us to leave Mitzrayim and go into the Midbar and follow him in the Midbar until we came to Har Sinai and ultimately came to Eretz Yisrael, following the Ratzon Hashem, Rabbi Kiva says we have to commemorate that all that we had there in physical protection and nutrient needs and necessities was supplied by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Sukkos Mamish. However, we find in the Gemara there's a shita of Rebbe Lezer. What Rebbe Lezer says is, no. I'm of the opinion that there's another phenomenon of Besukkos HaShafti. Besukkos HaShafti refers to a Medrash Chazal that the Rabbeinu Sham encompassed Klai. So once we went into the Midbar, we started to travel. So it's one thing to sit in Sukkos Mamish when we're staying in location for many, many days, weeks, or perhaps years, as they did sometimes in the 40 years they were there. But when we're in traveling mode, and we don't have tents we can put up, the Rabbeinu Sham encompassed us with Anani HaKava, clouds of divine glory. They encompassed us from all six sides. So if you think about it, we literally didn't even have our feet touching the floor of the Midbar. This perhaps was the biggest jumbo jet that ever existed, because it contained, according to this Medrash Chazal, 3 million seats for men, women, and children to literally float through the Midbar as we were in travel mode. There was also a seventh Anan, Chazal tell us, that in actuality traveled before them, that cleared the highways and byways, cleared the desert for any type of dangerous phenomenon. So that was basically a protection of the direction we're going to make sure that any danger that might be there, physical, animal, robbers, enemies, whatever it might be, the Anan, that one that went before the other six that surrounded us, cleared the way to make the place as safe as possible. So according to Rebbe Lezer, when it says, Kibbe sukkah sayshafti, I made them sit in the sukkah, means Hashem is talking about the Anani HaKava that surrounded us from all sides and protected us from all the elements of nature, all the dangers of that natural habitat, protected us, watched us, cleared the way, until we ultimately made our way to Har Sinai, and then finally made our way to Eretz Israel. So we have two different opinions. The Shita of Rebbe Lezer, the Shita of Rebbe Kiva, which one's correct? So upon this, Achazal tell us, Rabbeinu Bachya, Ben Osher in his Perish, to the Chumash in his Perish, in his Sefer Kadakenach says, this is an example of the concept of Elu ve'Elu Divilchim Chayim. That both are correct. And in actuality, there are times when they were not traveling and were in location for many, many days, that in fact, in that type of situation, they were sitting in Sukkot Mamish being protected by the Rabbeinu Shalom, but when they were in the mode of moving a whole gigantic population of 3 million men, women, and children in the place of Sakana like the Midbar from all directions, the Rabbeinu Shalom encompassed them with Anania covered on six sides, had the seventh one clearing the roads and the highways and the byways, sand dunes from all types of Sakanas as they were going through. And this is therefore another form of, in actuality, protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Klal Yisrael as they sojourn and travel through the Midbar. Both represent the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Hashgacha Pratis that he gave us. And when we sit in the Sukkah, we're supposed to commemorate, in actuality, both phenomenon. We're supposed to think of the Sukkah Smamish that Rabbi Kiva mentions and all that means. And we're supposed also to remember the Shita of Rebbe Lezer, Anania Kavod, that Hashem gave us the protection of this divine Anania Kavod, which also accompanied them in the Midbar until they came to Eretz Israel. Both of them, Eluv Elu Divil Kem Chayim, we're supposed to mechavim both of them. We're supposed to basically take both of them into consideration. And this has a specific meaning and significance when it comes to a specific halacha I want to allude to at this moment in time. Why am I emphasizing both types of kavanas, Rabbi Kiva, Sukkot Mamish, and the Shita Rebbe Lezer of Anania Kavod? The reason is because when we do mitzvahs d'oraisa, there's a concept called mitzvos tzrichas kavana. That when you do a mitzvah, you have to have in mind, when you're doing the mitzvah, you have to have in mind, I'm doing this mitzvah, not because I just like doing mitzvahs, but I'm doing this specific mitzvah, kashatziva Hashem es Moshe, because Hashem is mitzvah Moshe to mitzvah us to do this mitzvah. So when you, before you do the actual physical mitzvah itself, whether it's a mitzvah bedibor umachshava maisa, I have to have in mind, I'm doing this because Hashem is mitzvah me to do this, to show cognition that my activities represent the tziva of HaKadosh Baruch Hu given to Moshe, given to Klal Yisrael, going back to the time of Kabbalah's Torah on Har Sinai. That's the normal way we look upon mitzvah tzriches kavana. However, when you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkos, what you find over there is a whole conversation by the Bach, and later on, besides the Bach and also the Beis Yosef on the Perish to the Tour. Besides that, you also find later on the Rav Etlinger and his Perish to the Shulchan Aruch, who lived in the 1800s. What he and they say is that there's something very unusual about the mitzvah sukkah, and that is most mitzvahs, when Hashem commands us to do the mitzvah, he doesn't go out of the way in Torah Shabbosav to explain the tam of the mitzvah in the actual pasuk. We usually find the Tam Mitzvah contained in the Torah Shabbat Peh, which we received orally. And that's why when you're doing most mitzvahs, you just have to mechaven and doing the mitzvah, because Hashem was mitzvah me to do the mitzvah. However, the Bach, and later on the Berachah Yosef, points out that over here, since the Rabbanu Shalom went out of his way to mention the fact of Kibbutzukas Hashavti B'nai Yisrael, that the reason that this in Sukkis is we have to recreate the miracle of Sukkot that Klal Yisrael experienced at that point in time. Keep a Sukkot, a Shabbat in Israel. I took him out of Mitzrayim and I made them sit in Sukkos. The fact that the Torah Shabbat mentions the Tam HaMitzvah, which normally is contained in Torah Shabbat, but here it's placed in the actual Torah Shabbat. From here, these Gedol Achron who come to the conclusion that when over here you mechaven the mitzvah for which I am basically reason I'm doing this mitzvah, sitting in the sukkah, I not only have to have in mind I'm doing it kashatziva Hashem es Moshe, not only do I have to mention that reason in my mind, But I also have to say I'm doing this because of the tam of the mitzvah, to literally recreate the aura of the Sukkos Mamish concept of Rabbi Akiva, as I mentioned before, and the concept of Ananya covered Sukkos, which basically surrounded Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. I have to have in mind, I'm doing the sitting in the Sukkah to commemorate Sukkos Mamish Rabbi Akiva, Ananya covered Rabbi Lezer, to bring both of the Roshitos into play as part of my Mitzvah Sichas Gavana, uniquely for the Mitzvah of the Yom Tov of sitting in the Sukkah. And according to some of these Achronim, especially according to the Berchi Yosef, he would hold Halacha Lamasa, that basically speaking, as far as he's concerned, or actually speaking Kurei Yaakov, he would hold Halacha Lamasa in his parish to the Shulchan Aruch, Kurei Yaakov, he would hold Halacha Lamasa, that technically speaking, you would have to have in mind even a kavana of what type of sukkah you're sitting in, for what purpose, besides the general kavana, Mitzvah Sukkah's kavana. You would have to have in mind also the concept and the yisod that I'm sitting in the sukkah because of Akiva Sukkah Mamish, and because Ananya covered mentioned by the Tana Rabbi Lezer. So this is one of the uniqueness of the phenomenon. Even though Rav Etla claimed that you don't have the kavana of Sukkah's Mamish and Ananya covered, you're not Yotze to Mitzvah Sichas Gavana when it comes to Sukkah. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah Praskins, like the Prima Gadim, Lechad Chila, we should try to fulfill having all of these Kavanos. But if I didn't have all these Kavanos, I only had a mind doing it L'Shem Mitzvah V'Yeshiva B'Sukkah, and that's it. I didn't bring in Rebbe Lezer or Rabbi Kiva. I'm Yotze B'David, the Mitzvah Sichas Kavana requirement to make the Mitzvah D'Oraisa halachically effective, with that specific requirement of having kavanah while you do this mitzvah deraisa. What I want to spend time on, however, is a very interesting phenomenon. The fact that, you know, we have to basically commemorate Sukkot, as Mamash Rabbi Kiva said, as I pointed out, you want to see Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis on Klal Yisrael and realize how far the Rebbeinu Hashem goes to change natural law, to be able to keep a nation of 3 million men, women, children alive in the Midbar Shmama for 40 years. I mean, that's a tremendous phenomenon. To have bread and water supplied to them on a daily basis, have sometimes even quails or other types of meat given them from time to time. I mean, this is a major feat, a major hashkacha pratis. You know, bread coming min hashamayim is a tremendous phenomenon. And nevertheless, Chazal tell us, this is what technically happened over here. This is the basic yisod of the Messiah, what happened. And therefore, technically speaking, we understand the Tzarech Hashor, that Hashem had the Meshana Teva in many different ways to facilitate Klaisos Mesiris Nefesh going into Midbar Shmama with nothing to literally perpetuate their existence and the life in their existence all the time in the Midbar until they entered the Eretz Israel, Barshim the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKoyen, and ultimately Miriam were the Tzadikim and Tzidkaniyos, in whose Schus we were given the special Hashkachas Hashem when it came to these various miracles I just mentioned. So this is an important thing to mention, to talk about, to discuss when it comes to sitting in the Sukkah during the Yom Tov HaSukkos. However, what I want to analyze today on a deeper level is the concept of Rebbe Lezer when it comes to saying he put this in Anani HaKavet. Now, from a physical level, I understand what Anani HaKavet were. They were a travel corridor that was placed around Klal Yisrael on all six sides with a special Anan opening the pathways on which they traveled in the Midbar. So we can understand, once again, this is an open miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very similar to the Mon and the Be'er Mayim that went with them. It was a special, special type of divine vehicle which had the capacity to transport an entire nation in a Midbar Shmama for over 40 years. We understand the ramifications of this and why we should remember it and talk about it in the Sukkah concerning what the Sukkah represents, as well as the commemoration of the Anani HaKavod of the Sukkos HaShavtis B'nai Yisrael. But the two questions I want to ask upon Shitas Rebbe Lezer are the following. Why are Anani HaKavod called Balashan Sukkah? What does an anan of a cloud of divine glory have to do with the concept of a sukkah? What is the root? What is the similarity between Kipsukkah Sashavti and Anania Kavit? And number two, what is interesting and fascinating to me is that these Anania Kavit, Chazal tell us, were not just protective devices, but they were molei the actual divine Shechina v'Kadosh Baruch Hu encompassing us on all sides. He gave us not only protection through Ananiya Kavit, but he gave us an intimacy between Hashem's divine presence on a more intense level than you have in other parts of the world. Mo'aras Hashem Kavodah, his presence is all over. But when it came to this miracle, Hashem's divine presence was in fact intensely encompassing Klal Yisrael on all sides, giving them an intense closeness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Chvodo b'Atzmo, and in fact, between Klal Yisrael, who were encompassed by this on their covenant. What is the meaning? What is the reason that Hashem saw the necessity to give him such an intense encompassment of Anani Kavod in their trip through the Midbar? It couldn't just be protection, because Hashem could have protected us even without that type of intense Kedusha Shechina surrounding us from all sides. So why did we need these Ananiya Kavayit with Shechinas Hashem surrounding us? So these are the two questions, why the Ananiya Kavayit called Sukkah, and why we had to have this intense Shechinas Hashem encompassing us. Please listen very carefully, because as Rabbeinu Bachya says, in the midst of Sukkah, there's a concept of Nigla v'Nister. The Nigla part of just physically preserving us and protecting us, I already mentioned Barichos in my opening remarks to the Shir. What I'm going to point out to you now, however, is there's a Nister. There's a hidden spiritual Kabbalistic reason for the need of Ananiya Kavod, encompassing Klaus Hashem Shechina, during their traveling in the Midbar, going to Har Sinai, and then ultimately going to Eretz Israel. So listen very carefully as I share with you the Kabbalistic sodas of Sukkah that you should think about and talk about as well when you're sitting in the Sukkah with your Mishpacha during the Yom Tov of Sukkos. What the Mekubalim tell us is something quite fascinating. That even though Klal Yisrael were contaminated with Memtesh Shari Tuma, as was mentioned over and over by Midrashi Chazal, that listen, look, this Klal Yisrael lived in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Even though they tried to not assimilate and acculturate, Chazal say that they were not Meshana, but the way they spoke, their names, their language, they tried to dress and talk and act like Jews, but they were in an environment of tremendous, tremendous, intense spiritual contamination for 210 years. It's impossible when you're in such an environment of such intense tumah contamination from idolatry and things related to idolatry, that it doesn't impact upon you in some way and some form being in that type of very, very tumidika environment. And Chazal therefore say that Klais, whether they liked it or not, were metame with memtes sharim gates of contamination. Contamination based upon Avodah Zarah and all that Avodah Zarah represents had contaminated them being in that environment. When it came to our Zechiah for Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Rebbeinu Hashem told us at Aram Ve'eria that he saw that we were naked from mitzvahs because we were contaminated with so much tumah. He had to give us two mitzvahs of incredible Mesiras Nefesh that would give us the Zechiah to be Zechiah for Yitzias Mitzrayim to take place, to Mishana, all the things and Shinuim he made, miracles, L'mayla Midarech HaTeva, V'shini HaTeva. What two mitzvahs did Hashem give us to give us the schus and the zechiah to be zoch of Yitzias Mitzrayim and for all that took place afterwards? So Chazal say, even though we were naked from mitzvahs and contaminated, he gave us the mitzvah of bris milah, to do bris milah again. Many Jews did not do bris milah in Egypt for various reasons I'm not going to go into now, but they had to do a bris milah. And to do a bris milah, especially in older people, a couple of days before you leave, and not have time for it to heal properly and go into a midbar shmama of heat and be involved in an exhaustive type of trip, is not the best way that a person who undergone surgery is supposed to recuperate from that surgery. But they were willing, without a question, to circumcise themselves, to already be circumcised by the night of Leil HaPesach, the night of the 15th, to be able to partake of the Korban Pesach as well, because Kol Oral Yelchobo, if they were Arelim, they couldn't partake of the Korban Pesach. So they put themselves in physical sakana of undergoing the holy operation of doing the mitzvah Bris Milah before they left Egypt, and they did it with Mesiras Nefesh.
You are listening
even though it's
to
BensTorah.com. Number two, another mitzvah they did, which was also very, very full of tremendous amount of sakana, was the fact that Hashem didn't just want us to slaughter a Korban Pesach on the night of the 15th quietly. He wanted us the Shabbos before that we should go in mass and buy thousands and thousands and thousands of sheep and walk through the marketplace, all the Jews with their sheep, taking them home. And when the Egyptians asked us, what in the world do you need all these sheep for? After all, the sheep was their god on earth, representing their star god above. They thought the Jews were converting to their religion. So the Jew says, no, we're not converting to your religion. We're Jews. We believe in God only. We don't worship sheep. Why are we taking the sheep? Because we're going to have a special holiday in a couple of days from now on the night of the 15th. And the main course of our Suda on the night of Pesach is going to be lamb chops. We're going to roast this lamb and eat the food as part and parcel of this major mitzvah. Suda's mitzvah we're doing on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, besides eating matzah and eating the other things HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do that night. So they had told the Egyptians way before the night of the 15th, on that Shabbos, what we're planning to do, we're going to desecrate your God. We're going to kill that God. We're going to eat from its body. And in fact, the Rabban Hashem mandated them, not only do you have to eat and shech that Korban Pesach, and eat it on the night of the 15th, but I want you to show tremendous, tremendous forms of desecration of this animal. Take its blood and pour it on the actual sides of your doorway for people to see that you actually killed it. And number two, I don't want you to break the bone structure, the skeletal structure of this specific sheep, to realize you carried out what you said you're going to do. After you eat all the meat on the physical body of the sheep, you take the entire skeletal structure, you can't break any bones, throw the actual skeletal structures into the street so your neighboring Egyptians should see you carried out your threat of eating their specific god and killing it and destroying it and using it as a Sudas Mitzvah to God on the night of the 15th. This whole phenomenon put the entire population of the Jewish people, 3 million men, women, children, under sakanas nefashis. Literally, there could have been an incredible pogrom because we were literally desecrating their God. But nevertheless, the Egyptians were scared for their life. They already witnessed 9 makas that literally destroyed the Egyptian empire. Its economy was destroyed. A lot of people had died before because of the various makas that were inflicted upon them. Total desolation, total desecration. Even the king of Egypt and the army were afraid to start up with the Jews. They saw the omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the first 9 of the makas. And they knew that there is a possible 10th maka coming. And this makas Bechairis is really going to be the most devastating of them all, reaching all parts of the Egyptian empire, going all the way up to Paro himself. Paro was the Bechar. He had a firstborn son. And what Chazal tell us, what happened, ultimately speaking, is despite the fact that we put ourselves in danger carrying out this specific mitzvah of Bimakav and Korban Pesach, Chazal tell us this was a Kiddush Shem Shamayim, we were mevatel, the entity of the importance of a sheep as a deity, as an idol, the same way Avram broke idols to show that they're not really gods. Klal Yisrael killed and destroyed and shechted the sheep to prove it's not a god. It can't protect itself. Why in the world are you worshiping the sheep? It means nothing. It can't protect itself, so it's going to protect millions and millions of Egyptians and other people. So therefore, it was a mitzvah of bittul avodah zarah. Be mavatal avodah zarah publicly in front of all the Egyptian Empire members and in front of the entire world. This was an act of kiddush shem shemayim, putting yourself in a dangerous situation of sakana. And Chazal say these two mitzvahs of sakana is the fashos, the shechting of the Karban Pesach, putting themselves in danger. I mean, kiddush shem shemayim, and putting themselves in danger, undergoing a bris milah, so much little time left for them to cure and heal themselves before they went out into the midbar shemama. These two took care of the nakedness they had, overpower the 49 Shari Tuma as a negative, and these positive things countermanded it and gave them the schus to undergo Yitzias Mitzrayim, as we say in the Haggadah, B'damai Chamid, B'damai Chi, in the blood of these two bloods, the schus of Klaus were able to leave Mitzrayim and be sanctified with Hashem's Kedusha, become the Amon Yivchar, later on when he came to Har Sinai to mekabel the Torah B'chlad Be'atzmo with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the question I want to pose is the following. We understand the zechuyos they had of Korban Pesach and Bris Milah, which allowed them to leave Mitzrayim with that act of Mesiach's Nefesh, as we say in the Haggadah. What was the need, however, that they be surrounded on all sides with Anania covered, which had intense Shechinas Hashem from all sides? What was the purpose of that when it comes to having that encompass them in the Midbar? I can understand Anania covered without the Kedusha Shechina Hashem protecting them from the elements of natural law that surround them. We understand that. But to say that Anania covered were empowered with tremendous divine Kedusha and sanctity, very similar to the way we said the Beis HaMikdash has an intensity of Hashem Shechina Hashem Sheichin B'Seicho, to Mekadosh it is the Makim HaMikdash, the different levels of intensity of Hashem Shechina. The Beis HaMikdash had intense Kedusha Shechina inside, which made it a place worthy of bringing sacrifices. What was the purpose of the Shechina, of its intense level, being put in the Anani Kavod surrounding them as they sojourned and walked in the Midbar until they came to Har Sinai? So come along the Mekubalim and give an incredible answer. What the Mekubalim say very, very beautifully is that even though Claudius had his Zechi of leaving Mitzrayim, and even though that allowed them the schus of going forward to mekabel the Torah, but there's only one problem. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that when they come to Har Sinai, he's going to want to address Klal Yisrael personally, panim upon him. He's going to want Klal Yisrael to hear, as he addresses Moshe Rabbeinu, as Metzava Moshe Rabbeinu, to tell Klal Yisrael the perish of all the mitzvahs Hashem's teaching Moshe. He should basically give that information and teach it over to Klal Yisrael. He's going to want Klal Yisrael to hear him tell them the Aseres HaDibros B'Chvodo B'Yatzmo. For that to take place, Klal Yisrael cannot be in a level of Memta Sharei Tuma. Hashem is not Sheikhin with intense Tuma on that level and speaking to a prophet who has such levels of contamination. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? So Moshe was told to tell Klal Yisrael, when you want to know when Kabbalah Satara is going to take place, what I'm telling you to do is following. You're going to count from the time you leave Mitzrayim 50 days, and you're going to know that on day number 50, you're going to have the schus of being Mekabel Torah in Har Sinai. Hashem will address you, and he'll be able to hear the Aseres HaDibros from Hashem's mouth. He'll command you, and you'll be able to see me speaking to Hashem and the conversation taking place. That's why Chazal say when Klal Yisrael experienced that, U'b'chol yamino olam, the amuna, the truthfulness, and the emes, of Moshe emes, of Terasa emes, was verified by their personally hearing Hashem, say Moshe is the only authorized prophet Hashem will ever make that is authorized to give over the Torah to Klal Yisrael and to the world at large. So that's the purpose of that Pegisha of Har Sinai. But what do we do about the Memta Shari Tuma? So Chazal say each and every one of the days of them walking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, I want you to do tshuva. I want you to do whatever you can on a spiritual level to return back to me, to try to shed the Memta Shari Tuma. And with the help of the spiritual Anani HaKavod, that intense Shechina, it gave them a Siyata Deshmaya that every day, one of the layers of Tumah was eliminated and replaced by a level of Kedusha. By the time 49 days passed, all 49 levels of Tumah had been removed, and they were replaced with 49 levels of Kedusha. By the time they came to Har Sinai on day number 50 in the Mekabel of the Torah, both the Gemara and Shabbos and the Zohar says, Pasag Zuhamasam, any spiritual contaminants that they were exposed to in Mitzrayim were eliminated, because every day of their counting was a way of eliminating one element, 1/49th, each day of the actual tomb itself by being exposed to the 10 booster rockets of the Shechinah of Hashem with the 9 covets surrounding them. And therefore, that gave him Siyata Shmai to correct in 49 days tumah that took them 210 years to accumulate. It took them 210 years to accumulate the tumah, and in 49 days, they're literally eradicating it and replacing it with a Naniya covet of Kedusha. That's a tremendous miracle. But that was the Siyata Shmai Hashem gave them by having a Naniya covet not only protect them from outside forces of danger, but internally allowed them to spiritually uplift themselves and attire themselves as if they went to a big mikveh each day. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem allowed them through the Ananiya Kovid to keep peeling away each and every day one of the layers of tumah. By the time they came to Har Sinai, Pasak Zuhamasam, all the tumah was eradicated, even the tumah of the chet of eating the Eitz Hadas Teivara, which Adam and Chava brought into the world, even that was eradicated. They were brought back to the level of total pristine spiritual purity that existed at the time of the Yetzir, Adam and Chava, on Yom Shishi, on the sixth day of Briat Olam, when they came into this world, Kedem Lechet. That's how Kadosh Vatar Klal Yisrael were, and the mechanism HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to facilitate such a tikkun was surrounding them with these spiritual clouds of Hashem Shechinah, Vananya Kavod, allowing them to spiritually uplift themselves and bring themselves to high levels of Kedusha. I want to mention with this, if that's the case, I now will answer the other question I posed. How can Anani HaKavod be called Sukkos? What does a Sukkah have to do with Anani HaKavod? So Rabbeinu Bachya and other Rishayim say, I'm going to show you that the word sukkah not only means booths, but it has another meaning in Chazal, and you see it in the name of one of our matriarchs. Sarah Imenu had another name besides the name Sarah. Her name was Yiska, Yud Samech Chaf Hei, as is mentioned in the Chumash itself. Why we should call Yiska? Because Chazal say, Sheshachsa Beruach HaKedesh, that Sarah was picked by Avram to be his wife because he saw the spiritual qualities of sensitivity he had for Hashem's divine presence in Kedusha, and therefore he acted with certain types of restraints, and he adhered to Zaymis B'nai Noach, and he did things to sanctify himself, become close to Hashem, and deserve to be a prophet because of this. The wife he picked, Sarah, was likewise of a similar personality trait. She was a person also who adopted observing Zayin Mitzvahs meticulously. She was a person who felt close and wanted to come closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was so close that the Rabban Hashem gave her prophecy as well. And Chazal therefore say the reason she was called Yiska was Shesachsa Baruch HaKadosh. She was literally full, completely full, with the Ruach HaKadosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a prophetess, the same Avram was a prophet. They both, therefore, were prophetesses connecting to HaKadosh Baruch on a continual ongoing basis as they were Makarer of the world around them, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fighting polytheism, pushing monotheism, bringing people back to Achdus Hashem and belief in only one God. The iconoclast activities of Avram and Sarah traveling all around and setting up their shop to have their kir rechokim mechanisms, mekarev, as many people as they could in the world. But Raman says, in Mishneh Torah Hichzor Zara, there were tens upon tens and tens of thousands of people that ultimately followed them and began to believe the way they wanted people to believe, in pure Achdus Hashem, in pure monotheism. Rambam documents this in the Mishneh Torah, where he describes the whole concept of idolatry, how it came into this world, and how Avraham and Sarah fought it during their lifetime, and gave this mission over to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak gave it over to Yaakov, Yaakov gave this over to his children. Klaisa to this very day have the mission of fighting the idolatry of the world and bringing the world back to the belief in monotheism as a mamleches kainim v'gai kadosh. Our mandate is to teach the world to be sensitive to Zayin Mitzvos and be close to Hashem and believe only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. The Echad Hashem applies not only to Klai Yisrael believing in the monotheistic concept of God, but the whole non-Jewish world is supposed to believe in Achdus Hashem and not have any other foreign gods besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to the ultimate Yisrael Avodah Zarah that applies to Bnei Noach as well. So not even Chazal say, though, therefore, since the Anani HaKavod facilitated Klal Yisrael to become more spiritual and more sanctified and be able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a high spiritual plane to the point that later on Har Sinai they were able to be brought up to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah momentarily to Mekabel the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, and hear Hashem talking to them directly and discussing things with Moshe in their presence on a prophetic level, to hear that Moshe is the Eved Neman and the only Eved Neman Hashem has when it comes to the prophet, giving him the authority exclusively to be the Moshe Torah to Klal Yisrael, Torah Sivulon Moshe, Morashi Gilas Yaakov. Moshe was given that specific entitlement to make Torah the Marasha for Klal Yisrael for generations to come. So therefore, the Anani Kod will call Sukkah, not as a booth, but as a form of divine perception of Hashem, divine connection to Hashem. The same way Sarah was called Yisrael Shesachse Baruch HaKadosh, Klal Yisrael were encompassed with Sukkos, that allowed them also to be Sachse Baruch HaKadosh. They were also able to reach levels of Kedusha and Tara, to be Zerche for prophecy momentarily, to Mekabel the Torah and Har Sinai. We therefore see that when we're having a discussion in the Sukkah, and talking what the Sukkos represents, we have a lot to talk about. Not just a simple machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and between Rabbi Elazar, but there's a lot to talk about. Rabbi Kiva's pshat itself is a brilliant pshat, discussing how Hashem, under all conditions, no matter what the natural phenomena might be surrounding us, preventing us as the people from surviving, Hashem controls natural law. He can do whatever he wants, do things l'mayla miderech hateva. And therefore, even with Sukkot Mamash, Hashem allowed us to survive in an impossible situation in the Midbar Shmama for 40 years until we came into Eretz Israel. So Rabbi Kiva, there's a lot to talk about exactly what Hashem did to preserve us there with the Ber Mayim and also the Manim Min HaShemayim and the Anani HaKavod. But when it comes to Rabbi Elazar, what I taught you now is that these Anani HaKavod were not just protective clouds protecting us in our transit and going through the Midbar, but they were spiritual rectification machines. They allowed us to rectify ourselves from the tumma that we were contaminated for 210 years in the Egyptian environment of total, total impurity, total tumma on the highest level. Egypt at that time was the Avi Avos, the highest level of spiritual contamination, of idolatry, of all the nations on the face of this earth. It was the most powerful malucha on the face of this earth. All the monarchs from all over the world came to Egypt to talk to Paro, to talk about idolatry, to talk about other types of phenomenon that relate to that specific society. I mean, that's where Klal Yisrael were unfortunately captured for 210 years. Ultimately, they were put as slaves there, and they underwent all different types of physical and emotional torture when it came to what happened to them. But it didn't break the back of the Jews. They still had emunah and bitachon. They maintained themselves under all these dire circumstances. And because of the Mesiras Nefesh, the Bris Milah, the Karban Pesach, and the Bittul Avodah Zarah, and the Mekavel Mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded them by giving them a special, special spiritual encasement of Anani HaKavod when they left Egypt. So by the time they came to Har Sinai, Pasuk Zuhamasam, they were spiritually uplifted, they were spiritually brought to a new Darga, a Darga of Klal Yisrael, that reached a level of pristine purity, Kodem Vechet, of Adam Vechava. So they removed all levels of spiritual contaminants of the world, to be zochet to Kabbalah's Torah on the level that received it, as the Gemara says and the Zohar says, Pasuk Zohamasan. This is what we got to talk out when we tell our children, when we tell our wives, our guests, all the people that come to the sukkah, what this holy sukkah is all about. When we say we're sitting in the sukkah, we say we're sitting in a sukkah, that the sukkah for us is a replication of the Anani HaKavit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'mnusa da HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we say the Ushpiz and we invite the holy, holy members of Klal Yisrael of the past to come to join us as holy guests in our sukkah, we also believe that the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the walls, fills the ceiling of our sukkah. And we're also encapsulated in the Anani HaKavit that's now physically encapsulating us in the physical walls and roof of the sukkah in which we're sitting. We're experiencing Shechinas Hashem in that sukkah, the same we're experiencing the holiness of being kind in the midst of sukkah. That's why you have to be careful not to mezalzel in the sukkah, what you do in the sukkah, how you behave in the sukkah. You're literally in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodo b'atzmo, in your sukkah. You're bringing the sukkah into your house, but this is not the house that your house you live in. This is the Diras Arai outside your house. And Chazal say what happens in this Diras Arai, the concept of Shechanti B'Sukkah, I'm going to dwell in your midst, is fulfilled by Hashem Shechina attaching itself to your holy sukkah and giving it a din of Kedushas HaChefetz HaMitzvah during the Yom Tov of Sukkot from beginning to end. So let's realize and understand the schus we're going to have in a couple of days. We just finished the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur yesterday, and we were mekayim all the mitzvahs we had to do when it comes to from Rosh Hashanah all the way to Yom Kippur with the Tekiah Shofar and all the other things we did to prepare ourselves and spiritually uplift ourselves. Yesterday we were zochet to what the pasuk says, Ki b'yom hazeh yechap aleichem utaseh mechochat aseichem lifnei Hashem tetaru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I pointed out in one of my earlier shiurim, came down on this day and was matar all of Klais who did proper tshuva mi'ava from all the tumas of the chatoim they did in the past. He purified our bodies, he purified our souls. We've left Yom Kippur with total tahara v'kedusha on levels that were only equaled on a certain level when it came to Klais or coming to Har Sinai. We're now in a state of total spiritual purity and sanctification. And for Smichas HaPash, as Hashem says, you're going from a state of spiritual sanctity, as if you counted the sphere, as if you were in Anani HaKavod. And from Yom Kippur, you're going to enter a new Anani HaKavod of Yesuka for the next 7 days, sitting there and commemorating and reliving the experience of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer in sitting in that holy sukkah. Remember what we're doing, how we're doing, and realize all of this is the chesed and love he has for Klal Yisrael going back to the time of antiquity, from the time of the Bechir of Klal Yisrael to Avos V'Imos, and the promises made in the Brisbane of a son concerning the ability for Klal Yisrael to survive in every type of situation, in all types of circumstances, to never ever be able to be eliminated from the face of this earth, and the promises of the Brisbane of Asarim, of us being able to survive everything till the end of time, being able to live a life, even the Malami Derech HaTeva, when it comes to confronting all the various types of things that confront us as Jewish people throughout all the ages itself, the ability to inherit and live into Eretz Israel, and to build it and to develop it, and be able to make that the unique Jewish homeland for eternity, all of that we are experiencing at this point in time as well. The schus and schi we have of having Eretz Yisrael grow and grow and grow with more Torah Jews each and every day, more Torah yeshivas and women's seminaries are being created there, and multiple, over and over again in all different parts of Eretz Yisrael. Jews are moving out to all the various expanses of Eretz Yisrael, the East Bank, the West Bank, North and South. We're expanding all over. We're coming close and close to the concept of Kibbutz Golias. We're coming close to the concept of the ultimate Ikvus and Bias HaMashiach. We're coming very close to the concept of ultimately having the Har HaBayis under our control and having a Beis HaMikdash placed there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with our efforts to have the Bin Bayis Shlishi take place. Let's hope and pray. L'shon haba b'Yerushalayim, we should be zecher to see the Mikdash built in, the Mashiach come, the Gula of Klai Yisrael to take place, and to realize that the Yom Tov HaSukkos is a further proof of the intense divine supervision HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the physical and spiritual preservation of the Jewish people. This is what Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer wanted to emphasize, not only our physical preservation, which is emphasized by Rabbi Kiva, but our spiritual rectification that was emphasized by the Tanya Rabbi Lezer. Eilu ve'eilu divrei chayim. Let's hope and pray that we should understand the significance of all the mitzvahs we do, taking the Dalamin Chazal say represent the achdus of the Jewish people, because each one of the minim of the Lulav and Esrog and the Aravos and the Hashanahs represent a different type of Jew. Lekachtum lechem. We got to bring all the Jews together, from the right to the left, from all sides. We have to come together as one specific entity. In fact, when it came to Persia, if you remember, one of the things Esther told to Mordechai, Kenos Kolai Yehudim, you got to bring all the Jews together. We need to have a solid front of achdus of the Jewish people to be able to prevail, to be able to survive, and bring the ultimate concept of Mashiach to take place. Let's hope and pray we'll have the kima of the Pasuk by Hebrew Shremel, Pesasef Rasham, Yachid Shifti Yisrael. When will we see the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When Christ will come together and there'll be a total achdus of the Jews together, loving each other, helping each other, working together, and feeling the spirituality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and especially for those living in Eretz Yisrael, feeling the ruchnius of the Kedushas HaMakom and being sensitive to it. When this happens, we'll be zocheh v'bi'as Mashiach l'kein amen v'amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.